Welcome to Lack of Focus, an X-Wing miniatures game podcast, brought to you by Dice 8 Productions. Hello everyone and welcome once again to another episode of Lack of Focus, episode 32, The Duel of Fates. I am your host, Ed Horn, and alongside me tonight, and the only other co-host for the show, one Mr. Chris Sheriff. Chris, how's it going, my friend?
Oh, good, thanks, Ed.
Yeah, it's just us, man. Just the two of us. We could start singing and dancing.
We've done this a few times now. I think we normally make it an entertaining enough show of just the two of us. So.
Yeah, no, we try. But long story short, Sean's surgery went well. He is recovering. We know that's the extent of what I know, because he's probably on some really awesome pain meds right now. And then Chad is quickly getting closer to returning, so we may do a show or two with just the two of us for the time being. Moving on to that, the main topic tonight is we're going to be talking, obviously, Duel of Fates. We're talking good versus evil, bad Force users versus good Force users. We're going to be talking about the recent trend of the Jedi and Inquisitor lists that are climbing up the ranks. It seemed to be doing well. All of a sudden, they're coming out of nowhere and doing some stuff in the competitive ranks of X-Wing, so we're going to check those out. And, of course, we've had a couple of new articles, a couple of ships, but the main thing I want to talk about, of course, is they released the Raider article, so let's talk about that mostly. And then we'll talk about that other ship that came out. So we're going to roll right into what we've been flying lately. I'll give you a quick spoiler alert. Chad's schedule has been super difficult to get in touch with, because the days that he can actually game, I can't. The days that I can game, he can't. So I've not gotten the opportunity to kind of meet up with him, which is super sad. It makes me super upset. And then again, the X-Wing community as a whole in our local area has kind of gone into a downturn. So I think what I've been thinking about is a lot of what Bruno has said whenever we had him on the last episode was joining the Vassal League. I think that's something that I genuinely need to do, because I need to get more games in, and since it appears that the local area is petering out, at least temporarily, I hope, I still need to get my X-Wing in, so that's it. I mean, I've got a ton of magic stuff I've been doing, but I mean, that's for another show and for another time. But Chris, you've got way more to talk about on that than I do.
Yeah, I played a couple of games. I'm not going to do too much. I think I played pretty much the same list as I spoke about on the last show. I did play a game against someone last night, and it was the first ever game of X-Wing. So I wanted to do a little bit of just generally talking about how I personally go through and do like that intro game when you get that new player. Never played before. He said he's pushed the ships around the kitchen table with his girlfriend or his wife, and this was his first proper trip to a gaming store and first wanting to like play other people. So it's like we spoke about it, and it's like we'll go through, and I said we're going to play on a timer, but I did an 85 minute timer rather than a 75 minute one. So I said we're going to take it pretty slow and a stop. We'll talk about stuff. When you dial a move in, we'll discuss what you were thinking, why you wanted to do that, and, you know, really just keep it as casual as I could. And then I went through my seven lists in my Plano case, and I generally pick the vulture swarm, because it's got vultures in it, so they explode when you shoot at them.
And makes a new player feel good to blow ships up. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's got the really easy caveat of this zone in front of my list is a zone of death. If you land your ships here, I will shoot you and I will kill you. So be anywhere but here. It's fine.
Real quick, what contents did he own? Because I'm kind of curious as to where a new player picks up the game. Did he own anything? Or was it that he went out and bought the starter set and a couple of ships he saw in the movie, and that was kind of where he went from there?
So he had the starter set. He brought his Imperial. So he had the starter set, which was obviously two TIE fighters. He said he'd literally just bought the single TIE fighter expansion, and he had the TIE Advanced as well. So he was running, from memory, Ved Foslow in the TIE Advanced, then Hellrunner, Valen Rudor, and Iden Versio as his three TIE fighters.
That's actually not bad. Not for starting list, it's not bad at all.
It gets worse when he took quite a lot of upgrades on it, and we were talking about this after the game. If you strip out a lot of the upgrades, he had afterburners on Hellrunner, an excess of upgrades, as you want to do when you're first starting. So it was trying to, it's a lot of triggers to try and remember and lots of things like that. So if you drop all of these, you can fit in a fourth TIE fighter. So it's probably going to make it a more solid list, having a proper mini swarm and a TIE advanced. So that was the way I was trying to steer him a little bit. But we went through it, and we looked at his maneuvering, trying to get his triggers. Valen Rudor is a really interesting one. It's like whenever a ship defends between range 0 to 2 of him, I think it is, he gets to perform an action. So it's like, well, I'm going to pick this ship to attack with. Oh, look, now that I've attacked, you get to do you an action, so you could barrel roll out of the arc of all these other ships. It's like, oh, I can't, that's awesome. You know, getting those little things.
Holding his hand as he goes through, this is how these actions trigger. Exactly.
Yeah, and we went through, it's like, okay, you can do any action you want on your action bar. Okay, I'm going to evade. It's like, all right, okay, we'll go through why focus was the correct choice, waiter. I shot at him, he rolled, it came up perfect. He rolled like three eyeballs and a blank and had an evade token. So I, yep, see, I told you, if in doubt, just focus every time. it's obviously really stupid, and it's fine to take the evade if you're not shooting, whatever. It doesn't really matter at that level of play, but it's just a good thing like that. And then I was really disappointed because he just couldn't kill the ship in the last turn of the game. He'd killed one of the hyenas and he was shooting at something out, and he just couldn't get the last bit of damage. I was on like one hull, and I was like, I told him about spending the calculate tokens and gone through, and he just rolled really badly. He had a range one shot with advanced targeting computer. It's a four dice target lock, and then he got like one crit after the reroll, and it was sad times.
Sad times.
Like, if it was a double damage crit, I was dead, but it was a panic pilot or something irrelevant. So that would have won him the game. So I ended up winning by like 7 points and felt pretty guilty. But he killed a ship. I didn't kill anything, but because he had loads of upgrades, the half points really was the difference for it. So he enjoyed it, and it's always that line of trying to make it a really close game without making it super. That's why I always fly
super
the swarm.
Super obvious that you're feeding him ships.
Yeah, well, that's why I always try and fly the swarm as well, because as long as you stick them together in a clump and pointing their arcs all the right. All in the same direction, that's impressive to a new player. It doesn't, like, they're moving around in a block and holding the formation, so it's not like you're flying like Sydney FL and he just circles off into a corner and doesn't play the game or whatever. It still seems interesting, good. But
absolutely. So for me, whenever I'm teaching new players, I always have a stock standard, in my opinion, a stock standard approach for doing that. I always go with ships from the movies, and it's normally from the cannons. So 9 times out of 10, it is 2 X-Wings and a Y-Wing, a TIE Advanced, and a couple of, like, three TIE Fighters. And they're all generic. So what ends up happening is they get new players don't quite understand the triggers with named pilots' abilities, and it's supposed to be that first game is supposed to be just, here's flying ships around, here's how ships move, here's how rolling dice works, here's how ships blow up. And you don't confuse anything else with all of the other named pilot abilities or upgrades or things like that. And then as you start slowly easing them into the game, then you add a couple of named pilots, then you start adding a couple of upgrades, and by game 5 they're hooked, because then they're coming back to you in the next day at the game, so like, oh, okay, so I played this list, I thought about this and adding this upgrade instead of that one, and then you're like, all right, well, let's try it and see what happens. By that 5th game, they're hooked, and that's where you want them.
Yeah, and it's already asking, like, wanting to, like, branch out into a different faction. He really wants to get Slave 1, so it's like, oh, it's perfect. You've got Boba Fett, it's a really strong pilot, it's really simple to try and maximize his efficiency. You just push him at get it to range one of things, get the rerolls, you can take the Slave 1 title, you can I'm going to change mine, I don't want to go that way, and it's like, oh, that's cool. Because he landed one of his ships in front of my swarm. It's like, just think, if you had Boba Fett there with Slave 1, you could have just decided to turn the other way. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. So
yeah, I've elected not to do that.
Yeah,
it's so X-Wing on easy mode.
Yeah, well, it's good. No, that's what I've been doing. Obviously, I've played some other games as well, but I thought that was a more interesting talking point. So that's my flight deck.
Oh, excellent. All right, so I guess we can roll right into the news.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to go first, seeing as you like?
Can I
please? Excited.
I am. So in between the last show that we recorded and this show, of course, they gave us, in addition to all of the other epic stuff that they released the article involving the Imperial Raider. And they gave away quite a bit of information on this, and they answered a lot of the questions that we had, what we were referring to when we were talking about epic the first time and just speculating. So for example, the Raider has one gigantic front firing arc. That's all it is. It's just one big front firing arc, which is the way that those ships should be doing. But as Chris pointed out, every single epic ship has a bullseye arc. And we're going to talk about a pilot here shortly that actually has something that is affected by that bullseye arc. But the other things that they gave away that I noticed right away, you saw a couple of other things. Obviously, the First Order, and it's going to be First Order and Imperial for the Raider, so both can switch back. We briefly saw Admiral Uzel and the Agile Gunner upgrade, and it looks like a bombardment specialist would be my guess. You can't exactly see the words. There's a couple of new funky tokens, too, that we're not quite sure
about.
Yeah, it looks like there's a rotating arc one in a direction arc kind of thing. Should be interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
But primarily, we got to see full cards. So we got to see the full card for the Outer Rim Patrol, which is the Imperial side of the Raider. And it looks like, obviously, like the First Order one has very similar stats. But, I mean, just looking at the stats, it's got the 4 attack on the main primary, which is the full front firing, 0 evade, 20 hull, 8 shields, but there are little arrows next to those shields.
Double arrow.
Those are 2 arrows. 6 energy that are also double arrows, which intimates to me that every turn they regenerate shields, every turn they regenerate energy.
And that seems like a really nice way of doing it, actually.
It does.
Rather than having to worry about what maneuver you've done and stuff, just we've got recurring charges now, so these charges recur and you get double. So
yeah, seems pretty cool. It makes sense. And then the other side to that is, alongside all of the actions that you can take, focus, you've got reinforced target lock, jam, and what's the other one I'm thinking? Coordinate. There's a x2 above.
Yeah.
Meaning that they can take actions twice, which is breaking a cardinal rule to the game. At least that's my intimation from.
I don't know if it's that you can take the action twice so you can do 2 actions.
Ooh, that's another way. I didn't think about that, but you're right. So maybe it is that way, that you can end up taking 2 actions instead of just 1. That would actually be really...
Because it used to do a front action and a rear action, didn't you?
Correct.
So that would keep it the same, but simplify it.
Mm-hmm. And this clarifies, like, in the past, there used to be a front and rear card that had their own statistics. That's gone. It is one card with all their abilities, so that does make sense.
So I'm just... All I can think of is I really want to slow roll this raider at you. I'm going to reinforce the front and regen 2 shields a turn and just like, come at me, bro.
Exactly. Well, and then you also get the generic baked-in ability, which is concentrated batteries. While you perform with a primary missile or torpedo attack, if the defender is in your bullseye arc, roll an additional die.
Yeah.
And that's on all raiders. That's really cool. So, like, between the regenerating shields, the regenerating energy, the 20 hull that you're going to have to choose, and if it's either getting double actions or the same action twice, whichever way that works out, these are going to be really fun to play.
What I want to do is just fly this at a Tantive and have advanced proton torpedoes, like bullseye that Tantive, and go, eat all of the dice. Just all of them. Yeah.
Just eat all of them. Well, so in the other one, so we also got a title for, it looks like, the Imperial Raider Corvette, the Corvus.
That's the one out of Battlefront 2. That's the one that Inferno Squadron fired.
Exactly. Yeah. But you can dock 2 small ships, and after you perform, and it gives you a calculate to action as well. After you perform a calculate action, gain 1 calculate. Or actually, after you perform a calculate action, gain a calculate action token.
Yeah.
What?
So, it's like IG-2000, C-3PO, all the droid brains. Yeah. All the good droids give you an extra calculate token. So
it's interesting, though, because this is a ship that didn't dock before. Like, traditionally, it was the Gazanthia that had the docking, because you had the 4, I mean, you could physically see it on the ship, the 4 TIE fighters under it. So I'm curious. This gives me hope.
If you read Inferno Squadron, it's got it, because this is the ship that they're flying out of in that, and it's a custom-modified raider, so it's got, like, a little hangar bay in there. And
gotcha. So of course I'm super stoked. I know not everyone is into epic. I really have high hopes. It looks like they've put in a lot of work into it. I'm really looking forward to putting these big ships that are over my shoulder in the corner actually on the table and see what they can do, and hopefully they've upgraded them. Moving on, I guess I can stop gushing about epic for now. There's that other ship that came out. They talked about the Nantex class starfighter, so we finally got a reveal article for that. Interesting stuff. This is, I don't know how sold I am on the ship. I'm even more after reading it. I'm looking like, well, it's kind of cool. I'm trying to remember, did we ever end up catching the full dial before? Is this the first one?
I can't remember if we've seen it or not, but we do have it now, so.
Yes. Oh, I was going to say, I was going to go right into it if you don't mind. Yeah. They have everything in the one range with the exception of the one straight. They have the banks and turns. Banks are blue. There is no one straight. They have the full suite of twos. The banks and straights are blue. They have the full suite of reds. Banks and straights are blue. They also have an additional sloop on either one of those. Four and five are white, and then they have a 5K turn on top of that.
Yeah.
And then they have the really, really focused bullseye arc. That's it. Yeah. Now, of course, they do have the turret. We'll get to that here in a second. And then they obviously give some of the cool stuff that it can do by giving itself its own tractor tokens. Interesting. Pinpoint
tractor array.
Yeah.
I really like this thing. I think it's going to be... So I fly the Separatists to have fun, and this just plays right into that. And that's not to say that you won't be able to make competitive stuff, because I know we're going to get to him eventually anyway, but Sunfac's going to be pretty good. But just the bullseye only is good fun for a start, and then having to tractor yourself to rotate your turret is going to be interesting. It's a 3 agility ship. We obviously give yourself a tractor token, so you're down to 2 agility, but if you pretend it's a 2 agility ship with 5 hull anyway, you're not really losing out.
Exactly. Anyway, so we got so I'm going to literally go through each of the upgrades that we saw that came out of the article.
Gravitic deflection.
Thank you. Gravitic deflection. I couldn't get it. I couldn't wrap my mouth around it.
This is a newer card that we've shown.
And it is Antec-class Starfighter only. While you defend, you may roll one defense dice for each tractor chip in the attack card.
Yeah. So I really like this. But first off, what I wanted to talk about is obviously we've seen Ensnare already and this, but they're both actual talent cards that are Nantex only. So it's in these used to be the type of cards they would have put as the titles, the Jardan refit and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And I really like that these things that modify how the chassis works are taking up different slots for it. I think it's really interesting design space. So you can have, your normal EPT, or you can take this thing, which it probably should be nailed on, but then you've got the opportunity cost of, I can't take that talent that I really wanted. So I think that's an interesting way to do it. For Gravitic Deflection specifically, you got me going with it now. Obviously, 99% of the time, you're going to have tractored yourself anyway. So if they're shooting you, you're obviously in the attack arc. So you're going to get that reroll on one of the die. So you'd be down from 3 to 2, but you get to reroll one of those two. So kind of okay.
Like 2.5 of A dice.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to have to look it up now. But I think that's actually better than if you go unmodded, 2 with a reroll rather than 3. It's probably about the same. I'm going to look it up.
Sure.
So you have to fill for me.
I will fill that with the guy that we were talking about earlier, which is Sun Fact. He's going to be the Initiative 6 pilot for this starfighter. I don't think we even covered the statistics, but I think we've seen it before. But just to recap, it is a 3 primary attack, which that primary attack is only in the bullseye arc. It does have a turret that cannot go to the rear, so it's just in the front, left, and hold on. I should do this correct. The front, starboard, and port sides of the ship are the only ones that can actually get the rotation. 3 of 8, 4 hull, and it does have a baked-in ability called Pinpoint Tractor Array. You cannot rotate your firing arc to the rear firing arc. After you execute a maneuver, you may gain a tractor token to perform a rotation action. Because the rotation action is not on the primary action bar. It only has focus and evade.
Yeah. Okay, so looking at the X-Wing probability calculator, I just did it like dirty math. So you do defense die down to 2, and you give yourself Sirisu's ability, which is you get to reroll a die, and that comes out that it should take to a 3 dice attack with focus, you should have to get shot 3.625 times. If you just have 3 agility and no ability, you have to get shot 3.69 times. So it's about the same.
It's basically a wash.
Yeah, you lose by 0.07-ish.
Yeah, so it's about a wash.
Yeah.
To finish up with Sun, though, his special ability, while you perform a primary attack, if the defender is tractored, roll an additional attack die. That turns it up to a 4 attack die shift. That could be a ton of fun.
Oh, if you're at range 1.
5 attack die.
So the other good thing as well, and obviously basically because you've got to be a bullseye for that one. But if you do the tractor, if you tractor beam yourself, rotate the arc, use Ensnare to pass the token over to them, and then you're at range one. Because like you can tractor yourself, barrel roll yourself, use Ensnare to tractor them, tractor beam them in, roll them into the primary arc. So then you can like get lateral movement for both ships type thing. So they should be in range. Well, it's, yeah, it should be at range one because it's range 0 to 1 in your arc. So then you can shoot them with your turret, and that's a 4 die.
Yeah. So either way, like this guy could be a ton of fun.
Yeah. That's just tractoring yourself all over the place, throwing that token up. Like you're gonna run Sunfac with Ensnare. I know. What's it called? It's not mine. Fly Better did a poll. Like Ryan Fan was asking.
Still,
how many?
Still weird to wrap my head around that name, but. But yeah, continue. I apologize.
No, it's like they were talking about how much would you be willing to pay for Sunfac with Ensnare. It's like 60 points. People saying like 60, 70 points. I'm like, I don't know. I'd pay Anakin Skywalker points for Sunfac with Ensnare. Yeah. But
especially with only 4 hull and no shields.
Like, so if you run at my Anakin at the moment is, I'm running with calibrated, the R4 Astromech. And Predictive Shot, which fun stories. I actually managed to use Predictive Shot, but that's an aside. And he's like 70 points. So Sunfac with Ensnare. Oh, I mean, that's, he's still got double reposition, but he can't angle. No, he's got single reposition.
Single.
He can't angle his boost. He can only go straight. I think I'd be willing to pay between 55 and 65 points for Sunfac with Ensnare.
Really? Really?
Yeah. I would pay 55. It's still pretty... Yeah. I'd pay 55 points for that, I think.
Don't get me wrong. The ship has a really good dial and has a lot of maneuverability. I think the post-maneuver maneuverability, though, not having a native barrel, not having a native boost, that kind of scares me a little. Don't get me wrong. Someone's going to pull it off. You're going to be able to pull it off and get someone into the correct arc. I mean, because, I mean, just to, for recap's purposes, Ensnare says that at the end of the activation phase, if you are a tractor, you may choose one ship in your rotating arc at range 1 to 0 and transfer the tractor token to them. So in theory, you could basically supplement the fact that you don't have a boost or barrel roll by simply moving the ship that you want to shoot in front of.
So the other thing to remember as well for pinpoint tractor, right, is it's after you execute a maneuver, not fully execute.
Ooh, no, I didn't catch that.
So I can slam into you. Oh, no, I bumped. That's a shame. I'll tractor beam myself. I'm not going to move. I'm going to stay in contact with you. Oh, now I'm going to move you at the end of the activation phase.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah, that does interesting. So it should be interesting. I'm going to have to see it on the table, see how well it does.
And like, the thing you need to look at with this is what do you have to support it? How is it going to work in conjunction with the list? Correct. Like Gravitech Deflection seems like it could be really strong if you're running a pair of them. Like you could run depending on if they have the EPT to be able to take it. Like the, I can't remember, I'm going to have to try and say this now. Why did I pick this? Petranak Arena Ace. He sounds like he'd have an EPT. So the Initiative 4 one, you can run 2 of those, both with Gravitic Deflection. If you keep them together, if you're both in arc, you get to reroll both of your die.
Ooh.
So that should shift your survivability up a notch. But, you know, there's so much you can do with it. And I don't know how, until we see the points, it's going to be really interesting. But I'm excited. I'm genuinely excited. I think this is what I need to make me enjoy playing the faction more than I do now. I'm kind of disenchanted with my Vulture Swarm at the moment because having the 2 Hyena Bombers with Discord missiles just feels like I'm wasting points for fun, which is fun and enjoyable until I've launched the Discord missiles and I'm like, oh, sad now. Maybe now I don't do anything. It's just 5 hit points of boring.
Yep. This is going to be bouncing around a little bit. How do you feel that it synergizes as well? Like, would you consider like one of these with the Vulture Swarm kind of thing as opposed to...
So that's what I was going to touch on. Something like Sunfac is probably the card that I've been waiting for to let me fly the vultures without worrying about a tactical relay.
Ah, yeah, I could see that.
Because before, I've been relying on Kraken to really leverage those calculate tokens and trying to make that what wins me the games. Having Sunfac, I feel like I'd be willing to play a slower game with a vulture, maybe even run vultures without energy shells.
The keep hell you cheap say? And... Watch your mouth, young man.
But I don't. I feel like I'd be more willing to try other stuff once I had an initiative 6A, so you could really move around the table.
Yeah, no, so, I agree. We have some other name pilots that came into this one too. ShareTech is going to be the next one. Initiative 4, while you perform a primary attack, if the defender is tractored, you may reroll up to 2 attack dice. So that's a generic inbuilt target lock, which, if you'll take note, it doesn't natively have.
Yeah, but luckily, they do talk about targeting computer.
What a great segue.
It's like you've done this before.
It's like we've done this before. So we finally get to see officially targeting computer. Of course, it does give you it does the same thing it used to do in 1.0 if you're still from that era of X-Wing. It does give you the target lock ability.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Uses the same artwork too.
Yeah, and it's got a whole lot of text that doesn't do anything and just has the adds the tag lock symbol.
Yep, nope, straight up flavor text.
Yeah, Brewer Kurt.
Correct. Coming in at initiative 5.
Yeah.
After you perform an attack that hits each friendly ship with a calculate token on its action bar and a lock on the defender may perform a red calculate action. So this is where it sort of synergizes with those vultures that you were talking about before. Now, is it worth it to take the red calculate action though? That's the question.
So I think that for these ones, this is definitely a full-on synergy list now. So you need the hyena with the dark eye probe droid. So you get that up the table and launch a probe, so then everyone can get target lock, so your initiative 1 ships can target lock from a probe, so they take all the locks, this guy shoots at someone, hopefully hit, and then you get to have target locked calculated energy shell charge shots.
There you go. Coming in at initial 1, but still, it could be tons of fun.
Yeah, I think this one's probably definitely points dependent. Like, the ability is nowhere near as good as something like Sunfac. He's definitely a support, more supportive type ship. So I think this is one I may be tempted to try and run with the Gravitech plating, Gravitech deflection, and like play around that way. It's really interesting. I can't wait to see the slots on this. I want to see if it's got a modification slot as well, and like the stuff you could do there. And
Good question. So, all right. So they are showing targeting computer coming with the ship. You would think, now I'm not, just pure speculation here.
They did it with the Fang Fighter that you got afterburners with the Fang Fighter, but it was only on the quick build card. So I'm not going to commit to that just yet.
Okay, so that's fair. That is
you
fair
are right.
Enough.
It probably does. You're probably right, but that's where I am at the
it's
minute.
That is fair enough. Snapshot. Did we see Snapshot in the past? Because I feel like that this is something.
Not with a full text of exactly how it works. We knew it was coming. We just didn't know exactly what it did.
Correct. So it is a 2 primary firing arc, range 2.
So it's only. It's a front forward arc.
Fair argument.
With
fair,
2 dice.
You catch me on that all the time.
It's okay. So, go on.
So after an enemy ship executes a maneuver, you may perform this attack against it as a bonus attack. Your dice cannot be modified. So this is 2 just straight up rolls at range 2 from your front firing arc.
Yeah. It's really weird now and interesting. I don't know. I'm kind of sad that Snapshot's coming back because it was really annoying. But then, Snapshot's back.
It's a generic EPT too, so it can go back on other ships that it may have been used on in the past.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you going to run juking initiative 1 A-wings so that you can try and double tap with them and modify the dice with your juke? And I don't think you are. I think you're going to... I don't know. There's going to be some weird interactions that will make it good, but...
It's so situational to me. It has to be at range 2, otherwise it doesn't work.
I want to check Major Reimer again now. I want to see if this is going to get nailed onto Reimer.
Who could be.
Look at that. I already had the Imperial thing open. Major Reimer. While you perform... Oh, it's a torpedo or a missile, so...
Yep, so that doesn't count.
Reimer can't cheat with Snapshot anymore. Sad times. Well, it's almost like they learned from their mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and just for the record, too, other ships that can take two attacks or bonus attacks can only take one bonus attack. So putting it on the special forces ties, it's not going to work that way. You're not getting three attacks out of these things.
It is a bonus attack, but it's one of the ones where you're going to worry about it being spammed and people flying in formation. So imagine doing like something stupid like Black Squadron ties? Or like if you can fit six TIE fighters in all with snapshot.
Ooh.
I don't know. That's ridiculous. But
the first ship that drops in with Howlrunner in within that arc. With Howlrunner and a bunch of Black Squadron.
Reroll your die for Howlrunner. So
that's right. You can't modify. Okay, fair argument. So let's just go straight six up Black Squadron pilots. One ship falls in. Of those six, four of them are in range two. They all shoot. Now that happens before actions.
Yeah.
So like even if you were going to boost a barrel roll out of two, it doesn't work that way. The minute that you put the ship down and they're in range two, that triggers. Yeah. So it could be pretty devastating. But like the first time someone sees it, like, okay, yeah, I'm never going to let that happen again.
Yeah. The one that really worries me is the Green Squadron A-Wing.
Yes. Yes.
Because I've got two EPTs, so I'll take Duke for one. Mm-hmm. So you best hope you're not moving after me, because you'd probably be able to fit four of them in. So unless Snapshot's more than 8 points.
I can't imagine it would be because it's so limited.
Yeah. So you could take four Green Squadron A-Wings and have evades on them all and then Duke Europe. I mean, it's stupid and gimmicky, so I don't know that it's necessarily something to worry about. But if Snapshot is stupid cheap, then like spamming it is where I worry. Same with Duke. I don't know that anyone really cares about flying against one ship with Duke. It's when like there's four ships that have it that it gets a little bit
obnoxious. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like if it came in at like 2 points, for example, for Snapshot, stupid low.
Yeah. I mean, Green Squadron's for Rebels, so you don't have the maneuvery turret, but they're a little bit cheaper at 39 points. So if it's 1 point, you could fit five of them in Rebels.
That's dumb.
So, yeah.
That is dumb.
Yeah. So let's hope that it costs like between 3 and 5 points for Snapshot.
Agreed. Yeah. So moving on, Gorgul, he is coming in at initiative, he or she, I honestly don't know, coming in at initiative 2. During the system phase, you may gain one disarm token and choose a friendly ship at range 1 to 2. If you do, it gains a tractor token and then repairs one of its face-up ship trait damage card. His subtitle is Handy Engineer. So this is you can actually go through and repair crits off of your ships if you're willing to not take a shot.
I was really excited until I saw it's only repairing face-up damage cards.
Yes.
So this one would be competing with taking generics. I don't know. I'm trying to think, what ships do you have that really carry crits in Separatists? I don't know that there's that many of them, really.
Right.
Most
of them are so low on hull by the time they're taking crits, they're probably out of the game anyway. So
yeah.
What are you bringing back in? The bomber, maybe?
I suppose if you've got the damaged engine, this is awesome because damaged engine's super annoying.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't know. It seems interesting, but I'm not massively in on this one.
Yeah, so you'd rather take the Pernantic Arena Ace instead, if assuming that he were in the same neighborhood of points, and it's just the generic version of the same ship. Probably has the ET. And then you get the Stahlgazen Hive Guard coming in at initiative 3, and that's it. That's all they've shown.
Yeah.
So their low-end ship is initiative 3. That is interesting to note. Like, there's no initiative 1 and initiative 2, or at least
I feel like looking at this, I think they've showed every pilot, because I'm pretty sure it says there's six cats in it.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's at the start of the article.
I believe you.
Yeah. Third paragraph down. Beautifully painted. This includes six pilots. So we've got, so we've seen all of the pilots. The thing that I'm not too worried about, the lowest initiative being 3, because I feel like it's probably not the easiest ship to fly.
Yeah, I would agree. So that kind of makes sense.
Having to tractor beam yourself to over to do stuff probably requires some level of piloting ability.
So I would agree.
Let it be initiative 3, that's fine.
I would agree. All right, so that is going to cover the news. We're going to roll right into the main topic for tonight, which is Force User on Force User Combat. We're looking at Inquisitors versus Jedi. So it's important to take note that this is in two different formats of the game. So you said you had a couple of lists you want me to take a look at. Do you want to shoot those over in the text, or did I already miss that?
We'll just talk about them. Sure. It's not really specific lists. I don't want to hit like what's been winning exactly. You can listen to any of the other podcasts if you want those winning lists. I wanted to keep more of a holistic chat about
them. I'm on board with that.
Yeah. So we've got the Jedi. Obviously, the Republic were factored around the Jedi. Obviously, the clones in the add a different aspect. But we've seen like ships, like 3 Jedi doing well, a couple of Jedi with some torrent support. But basically, the Jedi having the Force, like having multiple ships that have all got Force, is pretty unique until we saw the Inquisitors come back out. I think, obviously, it took the Jedi seeing some success for people to latch on to that points reduction that the Inquisitors got. And basically going through that, it's almost like having the double mods again.
Almost. Yeah. I mean, they are soft mods, but still, yeah. Which is something that I thought that they were trying to move away from original game. I think there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
So one of the big upticks when second edition was announced was the fact they were going to be bringing the Force in as a mechanic. And in the first iteration of points, they clearly heavily weighted it, thinking that it was a bigger deal than it was. And we've had a couple of good Force users, your Vaders, things like that, that did really, really well in the onset. And they individually got pointed out, but other ships that had access to it, they were there and they had some oomph behind them, but they weren't meta breaking ships by any stretch of the imagination. It's when you start getting into things like Jedi and Inquisitors where you can do it en masse, or you can have 3 and 4 ships that are doing it, that starts to go, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm really happy with where they point stuff like Anakin, Luke, Vader,
mm-hmm.
Those high end Force users, I'm pretty happy with. The Force upgrades feel pretty good. The problem, I think, starts to creep in at the lower end. Not necessarily Jedi Knights are pretty solid. 38 points gets you an A-Wing that always has a calculate token. I've just looked at the equivalent A-Wing was the Green Squadron for Rebels is 32 points. So you're paying an extra 6 points for always having a calculate token. Seems legit. I don't know. You arguably get access to the Astromech, which can be strong. Say if you take the R4, you're probably looking at you've got an equivalent dial to the A-Wing or almost. It's a little bit worse, but you're paying 10 points more for Force and a sort of equivalent dial. You've got better access to double reposition on this ship because you can boost our barrel roll, and you can do that without having to stress yourself. So that's pretty much a wash with the fine-tuned controls against the A-Wing's chassis ability to boost.
But then you get into things like the TIE Advanced V1 at 35 points for an Inquisitor.
Yes. And I think where we have to look here is that the Inquisitor and the TIE Advanced V1, or the TIE V1, doesn't have a requirement to take a Force charge to get the evade.
Correct.
So now you're paying 35 points for Initiative 3 Inquisitor, who is, comparable to an A-Wing. It's got the same stat block, but you're now adding in a Force for 3 points. So you're paying 3 points for always having to calculate and may evade.
Right, exactly. I don't know if I necessarily want to call it a problem, but that's where kind of the crux of the argument is.
Yeah.
Is, are they too good? Now, it's important to take note that the TIE V1 are only in extended, but I've given myself over to the dark side.
The next wave is where they get added to hyperspace, because they've been announced they are in the upcoming wave.
Exactly. So that's going to all kind of come out in the wash, and they're going to be in both formats, and you're going to be seeing these quite a bit.
Yeah. The big thing that I've said all along for the Inquisitors is they're sat waiting for this missile. Once the the old, once you get the old homing missile thing, if you get a four-die missile that doesn't rely on anything else, it's just literally a four-dice attack, these things are like gravy. You can already look at them as like people running concussion missiles on them, and even just going concussion is like the 41 points with concussion. That seems good. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It's gives you, I mean, a three die.
You're only running, how many can you run through that? You can only run four at 40 points, correct?
Yeah, so the list that people have been talking about and has been doing relatively well was two Inquisitors, a Grand Inquisitor, and then Colonel Jenden. So,
that's what it was. That's why it's an extent. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And like, even if you put concussions on everyone, you've still got 14 points to play with after you've got the base to the list. So you can stick stuff like fire control systems on them. You can give them access to sense for one of the Inquisitors, which is pretty good. Spoilers,
yeah.
Folks.
Yeah.
Knowing where people are going makes it pretty good.
Yeah.
And the way it's the old Palpaces conundrum. Like, do you chase a shuttle? Because then you're giving them access to your backfield and the Inquisitors are just going to chip away at you? Or do you try and shoot these stupid ships that have got focus evade or calculate evade effectively?
And yeah.
I think the answer this time around is yeah, you just fly all of your list at them and they will explode.
Because they are tiny ships. They do, I mean, they are susceptible to large squads of fire. But even at that, like, if they can give one round of getting those missiles on, like you said, if there is one better missile that's the equivalent of, these things would be amazing.
Yeah. I think the thing that's really good about them is they're a really good meta call at the moment, in that you've got people playing stuff like Anakin or things that they can dance around, where if they're only getting shot once, maybe twice a round, or like, you know, you're not concentrating your fire of multiple ships shooting at them. Like, they've got three agility, a calculate, and an evade. So you're probably evading two hits minimum.
Yeah.
Like, to they're only have to durable. Have a... Yeah. So you've got to roll three hits against them to hope to get one damage through, and then you need to shoot them again. But if you can shoot them again, that's where they start dying. So
yeah, because then they've exhausted all their resources at that point. On the opposite side, what is the Rebel side, or I'm sorry, the Republic side look like? I mean, obviously you're talking about running Jedi Knights and the Aether Sprites, but what are they running?
So I would be looking more along the lines of a couple of the named Jedi. So you don't necessarily have to fly Anakin. You get decent value out of doing Obi-Wan and Mace have been
Mace is awesome.
Really good value.
He's one of my favorites.
He's so cheap as well. 45 points for Mace is really good. You can get both of those. You can start like ramming in torrents as well. So doing stuff like, I'm a big fan of Tucker. I've been flying Tucker a lot recently.
as you said.
Yeah, but like you can run, well, you got Tucker, three other Gold Squadron troopers, and Anakin and Obi-Wan and Mace fit.
Oh, good God. Yeah, it does.
I mean, you've got no upgrades, so your Jedi are pretty weak in that version. But even dropping it down to three torrents probably isn't the worst choice.
And that gives you 29 points of upgrades that you can put into your Jedi.
Yeah. Oh, a 104th Battalion, a Gold Squadron Trooper, Tucker, Mace, Obi-Wan, and you've still got 12 points for upgrades.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. This feels a little different, though, than having, like, the three Force users versus the two. I mean, don't get me wrong, the two that you have are really, really... Well, no, I guess... Yeah, no, it still works out. Because these two are really, really good. But having those three, like you said, having those three super durable ships, the Torrents, I guess, are good bullet monkeys. They can just sit there and soak up fire all day.
And that... Well, it doesn't really stop there, because if you want to go real stupid now, so we will... This is a list I think you can do pretty well with. So we're going to look at Anakin. I'm a big fan of Calibrate on him at the moment, because I think if you take a big enough bid, you want the bid with him anyway to leverage his initiative. So calibrated on him. Then you've got Rick Olay and Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan, we can probably throw 7B on him. Yeah. So Obi-Wan with 7B, Rick Olay and Anakin with calibrated laser targeting leaves you 25 points for upgrades.
Ooh.
You've got initiative 6 and 2 initiative 5s. If Rick's going quick, he's getting his evade for free and focusing, so he's a nightmare to try and take down.
Yep.
he's got 5 health behind, 2 agility, like evade and focus. Then you've got Obi-Wan, who's giving him a force back all the time.
Yep.
And it's that same kind of thing. If you're not bringing multiple guns to bear on these ships, you're not going to kill them. And that's where we are at the minute. It's that I think people are out of that mindset because double mods have been so rare now that once you see them, like, it becomes really frustrating.
Yeah.
So just point all your ships at them and they'll die. But you've got to start playing that game of I'm going to point all of my arcs here and see what lands there, rather than going I'm going to chase that ship until I can shoot it, because then they run away with that ship and everyone's get behind you. So
the only thing I will give credit for, though, is they didn't put it into, like, so I recognize that there is, while being soft mods, there are still the turtled up ships that you can have where you've got the focus, you've got the evade, and then you've got the force token kind of sitting there as a soft mod. It's not the same as the old Soontir Fells at 4, you know, 4 evade, focused, evaded, boost, and barrel rolled all at the same time. Like, even if you could get a shot on them, they're so far away. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, they're still, I don't want to use the word reasonable, but I think it's still tolerable for them.
It's nowhere near what it used to be.
Right.
It's not as horrible as it was by any stretch. I don't think it's as bad as it was. I'm just trying to round out this list for you now.
They just need to be careful because they need, like, they're starting to tread on a little bit of thin ice with the double modification of the dice, because that is something that one of the reasons why first edition went the direction that it did was because of stuff like that. So they kind of, like, that's one of those gray areas. All right, you're kind of stepping over the line just a little, pull it back a little. That, again, I go back to my love of FFG and the way that second edition works. If it does become a bit oppressive, they change it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it doesn't become point sufficient to be able to pull it off. So, like, even if we did go through one season, one rules point section where it does become a little oppressive, they'll recognize it and adjust.
So this is one, if you're feeling brave.
Okay? Oh.
If you're feeling brave, I think this could be a good list. So it involves playing Anakin with calibrated laser targeting and R4 astromech at 69 points. Then Rick Olay with Duke and R2-C4. So, in fact, no, you don't. It's not as brave. You don't need R2-C4, in fact, because you've got Duke, so you don't want to spend that evade. Yeah. So, there you go. If we get a 5-point bid, that's okay. That's fine. So, yeah, so Rick with Duke, and then Obi-Wan with R2, Astromech, Sense, and Delta-7B. So, Obi-Wan becomes your stupid expensive ship, so people are probably going to bite on him. He's got Sense, so you can kind of mitigate people who've got a bigger bid than you. But yeah, that's kind of where I'd probably be looking.
I could see it.
I wonder if if you want to drop Anakin, can you fit Plo in with 7B? Yeah, you've got loads of points there.
Oh yeah, no, once you drop Anakin off the list, you definitely get a lot more, a whole bunch of points open up whenever that happens.
And yeah, Plo,
I mean, you are losing obviously Anakin's abilities, but he's not a slouch at initiative 5.
It's still initiative 5. Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, that seems good as well. So you can run Plo with Delta 7B, R2, and Sense. So he's now slightly more expensive than Obi-Wan. And yeah, you can do that. That works.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got 3 5s. So. And it goes back to you've got to play. Like, remember when we were talking about you wanting to fly Kylo and Supernatural Kylo and then not enjoying the gameplay?
Yeah.
This kind of list revolves around that kind of gameplay. It's like, oh, I could shoot at this ship at range 3 through a rock. Oh, you did 1 damage. Do you want to chase it now? You probably should.
You've already punched through the armor, Lily. You gotta follow me now.
Yeah, and just doing that kind of stuff. But I don't think Jedis are as bad as people are making out. It's about keeping that pressure on, maximizing the times you get to shoot them. They don't have as easy access to evades and focuses. Because they've got to spend one of their force charges to get the evade. But this one is more about having spammable focus tokens, and that's like Obi-Wan feeds into that as well with his ability. Like, you can shoot them once, they spend the focus, you shoot them again, they spend some force, you shoot them again, they spend some more force, and it can kind of get that feel bad, man, kind of moment. But you also get the times where you'll shoot them, they'll spend the force, and, you know, then shoot them again, they don't roll any focuses. I don't know.
That feels like that's balanced, because, I mean, there have been plenty of times that I've rolled dice and, oh, no focuses, so it doesn't matter how many soft mods I have, I can't use them.
Yeah, and Well, maybe this is a shit take. I'm not sure. I'm more concerned about if Inquisitors become more prevalent because they have easier access to soft mod and the evade.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm not worried about them becoming prevalent because you can still quite easily out PS them if you really want to. And I feel like it's the handbrake hand kind of conversation we had where everyone was worried about that. And it turns out it was actually a skill-based list that had abusive tendencies. If you had that level of skill, it made it difficult to play against. I don't know that they're necessarily 100% bad for the game all of the time. I'm quite happy to sit this out and see. I think that it's not so much Inquisitors coming down in points as Rebel Beef going up in points. As soon as there's a popular beef-based list, that these Inquisitors can no longer just get half points off something and run away and stay out of everyone's arc. I feel like that'll kind of bring everything holistically back into balance. And people are probably just going to be like playing a trend at the moment, and I don't know that it's necessarily a panic stations moment.
Oh yeah, no, I think you're right. And again, if it does become a panic situation, they're going to do something similar to what they did with Rebel Beef list. They'll bump up the points, and then it becomes less efficient than it was. You can still technically run it, but you're not going to be running it nearly at the efficiency you want.
Yeah, I really like, and I don't know if it's because I'm older now. I've been playing a lot of games. Well, I used to have to wait like 3 years to get a new codex to get your points changed.
Let me tell you what it was like playing with the Necron codex. Allow me to tell. Oh wait, what was it? The Dark Eight, or was it Dark Elder?
I played 40k before there were Necrons in the game, man. So
all right, fair enough. I came in when Necrons came in. You're right. My point being, like, I've always felt bad for those poor Dark Eldar players that were like, yeah, you're still running a third edition codex, and we're on fifth edition. We like jumped an entire edition of the game. And your codex is still screwy.
Yeah, but like, it's not even, you're waiting 6 months for a points change, but you're not waiting 6 months for a meta shakeup because the wave still hit. So the wave introduces new ships, which does change the meta. It might not null and void an abusive list, but, and again, this might come down to our mentality and how we've changed the focus of the show now, that we're more about how we enjoy playing X-Wing and just enjoying the game, that I don't worry about it as much. So maybe I'm way off the mark here, but I kind of feel like just suck it up. If the meta's crappy for a little bit, sit it out. Maybe don't go to that high level tournament if you're not going to enjoy it, or if you want to go and enjoy it, shift your own expectations of what is succeeding at the event. And it's easy for me to say, because I've had this mindset for a while now, that if I'm going to an event, I'll go to play like four games of X-Wing against people I don't normally get to play against, and I'm looking to go like 2-2, 3-1 with a list that people haven't necessarily seen. And that's what I was trying to do with that Imperial list. I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing. If I take something different, don't win the event, but, you know, beat some good players, play some good games, get run close, that's enjoyable to me.
Have a few laughs, drink a few beverages, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be about.
But yeah, I suppose if people are looking for that podcast who's going to tell you how to go and win a system open and what wish you need to fly, I don't have that interest anymore. I mean,
it's not us anymore.
We can do meta analysis and talk about it, and I still feel like I can analyze the game and tell you, I can tell you why Inquisitors are good, and it's because people are letting them to play to their strengths. You're not like, go sit down, read The Art of War, and apply that to play an X-Wing. Or in fact, no, even better, listen to what Korax says, you know, be where your enemy doesn't want you to be, and like, just do all of that kind of stuff, and just do the basics of playing a strategy game, and you'll be okay. Yeah. They're not that bad.
They're not that bad. I think that's a good place to close that one out. So that's going to kind of do it. We went for kind of a short show with only the two of us. You do have some post stuff that you want to cover, though, but there will be bonus material. So since I did not get a game, I want to kind of put this, make sure that's on the audio format first. Since we did not get the opportunity to play a game, I did not get to play an opportunity to play a game this week. You and I are going to get together as soon as we're done recording the show, and we're going to record a Vassal game between the two of us. That'll come up bonus material if you want to continue to see our happy shiny faces playing some games of X-Wing.
Yeah.
But you have some cleanup you want to do before the end of the show.
Yeah, so I didn't ask for questions on Facebook this time, but I did ask what people wanted us to play. So I gave them the choice of us playing some Jedis against Inquisitors, because that was our topic, or if we were going to actually hit the three defenders against whatever you want to play.
Oh, God.
And with a resounding shout of everybody saying three defenders. So Jerry said, why not both?
Well, so, we'll see how many games we get. We'll see how quickly that game goes. We might do both.
Yeah, but everyone was interested. And I actually find it really intriguing, because obviously playing three defenders isn't legal in any format.
Correct.
But we are grown-ups and we can play what game we want.
Yeah.
We don't need FFG to hold our hands.
No, absolutely not. So, it's a theory game. It's supposed to be for fun. It's to prove, and it's for you to prove to me exactly why running three defenders is a bad idea next week.
Yeah.
A bad idea to allow it to happen. Now, let me rephrase that. It's a bad idea to allow it to happen in the game. So I'm looking forward to the proof on that. So I guess it's the game we're going to play.
Yeah, and but I was quite impressed that everyone embraced that and were like, yeah, this seems like it could be really good fun and entertaining. So thanks.
I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. I will
lose to the face. Are those kind of people now, and that's the kind of show we are. We just want to have fun, and this sounds like it can be fun and entertaining. So
absolutely,
that's what we're going to do.
I will try to make it entertaining. We'll see how my rebels do against the old triple defenders.
Yeah. So then I sat down and went back to episode 20 and started listening to the last 11 episodes to figure out how far behind I actually am for sending out the prizes and stuff. So, Michael won the strain tokens from when Chris Allen was on the show, from the crate version.
Oh, wow.
That was the last time. Yes. This is how much I dropped the ball. So, I still need to send Michael those. Then, Patrick won the April draw, which was for... Patrick won the Paul LaRue Rebel cards, which I've got here. So, I need to send him those. Then for April, it was when we switched to doing the monthly batch of prizes. That was the R2-D2 plastic card that Sean really wanted. The ARC 170 model that's still sealed in the cupboard. I haven't returned it, even though I was skint and really wanted money. And the focus tokens that I won.
The old lime green ones.
Yeah, these ones were the new ones from the current hyperspace kit.
Oh, okay. Oh, those ones, gotcha. The transparents.
Yeah. Oh, dog barking. That's awesome. Thanks, Chase.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's fine. and that one was
I suggest
one,
you don't edit that out and you leave it.
That was won by Chris, who was a new patron at the time, but he's been with us since and still hasn't complained. I've not sent him his stuff. Then we didn't actually get a draw done for May.
Ooh.
We didn't do one for June. We didn't do one for July.
I was going to say, I feel like I haven't rolled dice in a while.
Yes. So I'm just like terrible.
Yeah,
so what I've done, and all of the patrons are going to get these. I've made up card packs of all the different alt arts I've managed to collect. So I've got like Dead Man Switch, Howl Runner, Munitions Failsafe, Proton Torpedoes. And then as I've had more of certain cards and less of others, so I've done my best to make them distributed. So I'm going to do it from the patrons who've been patrons the longest will get the most cards, but everyone's going to get something.
Yay! Good job, Chris.
I'm going to be sending those out along with, I've done the last of the target locks, so they're all getting sent out. I think we have three sets of target locks left. So
you
the
do.
Next,
I've got a couple here. I happen to love mine.
Yeah. Well, I've got my set that I play with, but basically the next three patrons will qualify for target locks. Then I have to do the next batch of tokens.
Ooh. So, we need a vote for what we want the next batch to be.
Yeah, but I've got an idea I think I'm going to do. I might do some Roger tokens to be just to be calculate tokens. Just Roger. So
that's perfect. It has to be done.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. So once we've got three more patrons, I'll get the Roger tokens made up. And that basically I've been doing them in progressively bigger runs as we've been getting more patrons. So that's what I want to do next. But that brings us through to May, June, July. What I was going to do as well, just to make up for my inadequacies, is we added Bruno's cards to the pile for the French damage deck. Then I had some of the metal evade tokens.
Uh-huh.
And let's see what else I have lying around right now.
Arcade token style ones. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, they're kind of cool, but I like my acrylics. I get where they're going. I like my acrylics.
Yeah. And then we will do the 2015 Regional Championship Maneuver Templates.
Ooh.
So that's what we're going to do for July's giveaway.
Which means I need to get dice, doesn't it?
You need to get dice.
You're going to put me on the spot. Give me
one
second.
I'm going to put you on the spot. I mean, I can do randomnumber.org.
Oh, no. It's a traditional dice roll. Just for anyone, we had this conversation.
You probably need a D20 now.
Yep. We had this conversation off camera. I'll mention it here. If you're watching the YouTube video, you'll take a note that I have a different background behind me. I took my wife's suggestion, in air quotes, of cleaning up the man cave. And whenever I decided to do that, I took the opportunity to rearrange the room so I can be cool like Chris and have all my cool gaming stuff behind me. But when I cleaned up all that stuff, I also cleaned up the desk, which means I don't have my dice on the desk. So give me 30 seconds. I'm going to go get that.
Yeah, no worries, man. I will fill. So, so we're going to get back on track with doing these giveaways. I'm really sorry. It's been entirely me. I put off shipping stuff out because I was waiting for the Patreon stuff to take over so I could send out everyone's target locks, but it was just a little bit tight that month, so I was like, oh, I'll just wait until I get paid again, and then like life happened. So it's entirely me being terrible. No excuses, I'll own that. Hopefully this makes up for it. Thanks for all the support, everyone. No one actually complained, no one like got antsy about it, so really sorry. If you think you've won something and I've missed you, so I've got Michael won the Strain, Patrick won the Polary Rebels, Chris Fotheringham won the R2-D2 ARC-170 and Focus Tokens. If you've won something else and I haven't mentioned it, get in touch and let me know when you won it, and I'll confirm it all and get that sent out to you as well. Excellent. But hopefully all of this stuff goes. So, all
right, so I am now prepared. I now have my transparent purple die prepared, D20, ready to go. Confirmed that it is a 1 to 20?
Well, it's a 1 to 15, so we'll need a reroll. But this is for the Millennium Condor Balafision. I don't think that's how you pronounce it. Balafision podcast damage deck. Arcade Evade tokens and the 2015 regional maneuver templates.
Oh, this is all in one.
All in one. It's all. This is going to be July's giveaway, so we'll start building up August as well. So I need to find something else to put in, but we'll be fine. So yeah, roll the die. 1 to 15.
Number 13. Lucky number 13.
And that is Michael Du again. He won loads.
He wins everything.
He wins all the time.
He wins all the things.
I sent this on our podcast chat on Facebook. But all of our patrons are in the UK and Germany and Europe as well. So it's like, Thanks, come on, USA, you've got to represent so that I can post you stuff for cheaper. I love it when Jerry wins because he's in Calgary, so I can just physically hand him the stuff. It costs me nothing in postage. But okay, Michael.
So congratulations, Michael.
You've won again, man. And I will get all of that swag added to the Strain tokens I already owe you. And that'll get shipped off in the mail on Monday.
Excellent.
So by the time you hear this, all of this stuff will be in the mail. Unless you watch a YouTube video, which comes out before the audio, or the Patreon exclusive content. So yeah, maybe. But for the general public, it's all sorted. It's fine. Don't worry.
For the general folks, by Monday, it has been shipped.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right, you have some house cleaning to do.
Yeah, all of the normal stuff. So thanks for everyone who's been like keeping up on the Facebook page. It's been going really well. We've had more people join the Discord. I noticed that Ed's on the Discord as well now. I actually fulfilled the Patreon role. So if you're a Patreon and join the Discord, you should automatically get your name in red and have that level. I made Ed a member of the cast, so he's got a nice yellow name.
Yay!
So feel free to hassle us on there. So I get, that's the only Discord that I haven't turned off notifications for. So if anyone posts in there, I still get the notification beeping on my phone.
I should put my notifications on. I'll do that right now.
Yeah, so feel free to chat in there. It's still relatively quiet and quite a small close-knit community, so it's a good place to, you know, just chat about stuff. I don't keep it to like specific topics. There are specific rooms in there, but I chat about what we've been gaming, playing D&D, just general talk, like what's the life stuff in there. So if you want a more close-knit personal side of a community, jump on there. Because I did think about doing stuff like we've got the lack of focus group on Facebook, which is still relatively small. Chad posts all the memes in there.
That he does.
But I kind of like the idea of having it in on Discord so that it can be a little bit more personal and people can jump into voice and like chat and actually talk to us and
that's
stuff like
that.
That's
what the kids are doing now. Facebook's like old technology.
Exactly. And I have to move for times as much as my grey hair torments me, you know? But you can still find us on Facebook. We are Lack of Focus Podcast or just Lack of Focus on Facebook. You'll find us. You can email us at Lack of Focus Podcast. Shoot us Facebook messages. Hit us up on Discord. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I had been using Instagram a lot more, but then I fell off because I haven't been playing as many games, trying to get caught up on tidying all this garbage up behind me. My big clear out is almost finished. I've got the last couple of batches of things to get done, and I've got some cool ideas for some X-Wing videos. I'm gonna try and do some like how to buy in, like the old 101 articles that FFG used to do. I'm probably gonna like increase the monetary amount a little bit, but like where I'd buy in for a faction, it's gonna give you a couple of different lists and things like that. You can check out the Dice Hate website. A couple of people have been writing some really cool articles for me, and that's like kind of flowing. I've been trying to hassle Ed to put some magic content on there as well.
I'm getting there. I've had barely enough time the last couple of weeks to get my own videos done, but you're right, I will get there. I apologize. It's coming.
Okay. Nami Lee from the Crates, Carolina Crates, has written a couple of articles. Jeremy Chumbawaya was talking about doing some Song of Ice and Fire stuff. Another guy has been looking at doing some Song of Ice and Fire stuff.
I love Chumby.
Yeah, so there's so much stuff to try and work on. Again, being a dad kind of eats up a lot of time, but I've been procrastinating. I've been playing a little bit of RimWorld as well, because it's really easy to just click and go through. Oh, did you see the photograph of all that Alien vs Predator stuff I sent you?
I did. Yeah. I'm curious as to how much you're hanging on to, because there's some cool stuff in there.
Yeah, so I've got one of everything I don't already own set aside, and that's going to run me like $1,000 Canadian at some point.
Jesus.
Yeah. But I would advise, for what you want to do, like pick up the base game. I think the base game's like $80 Canadian, I think, something like that.
So it's like $40 US. I'm teasing. Yeah.
No, probably. we'll work it out. I'll get you a I'll make you a bundle up. I'll try and keep it to less than 100 US, including postage.
Oh, perfect.
And we'll work some of it out.
In case anyone's interested in what the reason why we need that, though, Free League Games is coming out with an Alien RPG. They've already gone through their pre-release. They've already done some stuff. Chris and I both bought into the game. I'm super excited to be able to play in the Alien universe. If I had to pick a universe outside of Star Wars, which is one of my favorites, the Alien one is one of mine. I'm looking for in role-playing games. If you're watching YouTube, I've got a whole bookshelf full of RPGs. So the idea of playing in an environment that I can play with my kids and kind of get into this, but miniatures kind of make the fun of some role-playing games. So this is a game that's being discontinued, and Chris has been able to find the last vestige of being able to purchase these games before they vanish off the shelves forever. So just the ideas of sitting down and painting some minis in the Alien universe, I'm really looking forward to. We're going to have to figure out a way to do it, but I want to do either streaming or something so that we can all get together and still play that game. I'm super excited.
I was going to talk about it off air, but I suppose we could just mention it in brief passing now.
Yeah, why not?
So I'm still on for November, trying to meet up in Minnesota or something like that, and we could probably play either at FFG Center, or if we do get a room at Radisson or something, we could play a session of Aliens role-playing game then.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. I'm sure Sean, depending on how Sean's health is, I'm sure he'd love it.
That's the big one. It's making sure Sean and Chad's health is okay. If they can't, I might try and just do something else, but I figured that would be an interesting thing to do, especially if we can try and make it like an open invite that will be there a given weekend and do like a Lack of Focus con for like the 7 people who might turn up.
Heck yeah, it'd be tons of fun.
Including the 4 of us.
It'd be tons of fun, absolutely.
Yeah. But no, it'd be pretty cool. We could get some of the listeners to come and play role-playing games versus board games. We can play Outer Rim with Sean, since that's his favorite at the moment.
I might have to pick up the game rare just for the attack dice, because I need all the help I can get.
What did I miss? Patreon, I suppose. We've just done our giveaways, but if you do support us on Patreon, really appreciate it. It's been a massive help. It's starting to creep back up again. I rejigged it all, because again, I felt pretty guilty after doing this. I went through and made sure the Discord links are all working, so it's actually activating and changing the color of your name. You get to do all of that. You get some exclusive content as well, which we're going to try and do more of. And we keep saying it, but we will endeavor to bring you more exclusive content. And I do want to stress, we do charge per episode, so make sure if you only want to do $1 a month, which is more than enough, just listening to a show is awesome support. Absolutely. Spreading the word, doing all of that. But if you want to do more, chuck $1 a month in there, but make sure you cap it the monthly outgoings, because I'd hate for us to steal like $2 or $3 off you if you only wanted to give $1. So yeah. Make sure you double check that when you sign up and put your address in so I can mail you all the stuff.
Yes, exactly.
We've got three more sets of the Lack of Target Lock tokens. We've only got three left if you want them. And I think they're pretty cute. I think those were the nicest ones we've done.
I agree. The Lack of Focus ones were fun, but those were really cool.
Yeah. But if you want them, make sure you get signed up soon, because we only have three left and it'll be a while before I reprint. Oh, I probably will never reprint that set of numbers. If I do them again, it'll be 6 to 10.
Absolutely. That's how you do that. You get the limited edition ones.
I think that's it. I probably missed something. If I have, let me know. But yeah, thanks for listening. And I really appreciate everyone's support. It's been pretty humbling looking at the growth and talking to different people and like the messages we've started to get in now. One thing I did see is we got a 1-star review on iTunes. I actually remember roughly the time it was. It was talking about us rambling on about crushing new players and winning and coming second in 5-player star championships. So I think that was when Jag got snowed into the event.
Yep.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure people didn't realise when I was talking about running the Sydney FL red line list that it was all tongue in cheek and that people were asking to play against it because it was funny. People didn't get that. Yeah, you probably shouldn't listen to us. It's fine.
Probably. Yeah, we're probably not the podcast for you. These aren't the hosts you're looking for.
It was like, do you really think I went out to crush new players with this list? Because if you do, I question your faith in humanity. I don't know. So I had a little bit of a giggle to myself about that. It was pretty funny. But the other reviews were all good, so that's fine.
Good.
If you want to leave us good reviews, you can go there. If you want to leave us bad reviews, email us first. I'll tell you where to go, and then you can leave an even worse review because I told you where to ram your feedback. I don't know. I love you all. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely. The final thing I want to share real quick. I've just got final confirmation this week. My work is going to be sending me to San Diego for a week. So I will be in San Diego, California, the third week in September. I think I like that. I'm going to pull that up right now and totally jam up on the date range.
16th to the 20th?
Correct. That's exactly it. So I'll be flying out the 15th and I'll be coming home on the 20th. The important part to take note on this is that the conference that I'm going to, which is it's a data architect conference. It's going to be super boring. The cool part about it is that my flight isn't until Friday. So me and the guys that I'm going out with from work have elected that we're going to go to Disneyland and go see Galaxy's Edge while we're there. Because the way I figure it is that my work is already paying for a hotel room. My work's already paying for the air flight. All I need to do is get my ass into Disneyland and spend $200 to build a lightsaber and I'm good. So for $300, I'm going to go to Disneyland and hang out at Galaxy's Edge. So if anyone's going to be there at that time frame, let me know. I'm sure I can hang out, but my intention is to get pictures in front of the Falcon. I'm going to be building a lightsaber, going to go drink blue milk at the cantina. I'm going to be living my Star Wars experience there, so it should be oodles of fun. So my hope would be that the next show is going to come out right before that happens, if I'm doing my date ranges correctly.
I'm just working right now. We'll be fine. We'll make it work.
I was going to say, because I might have to double up on a show one. But yeah, in case anyone's interested, it's far enough enough advanced that I should be in Galaxy's Edge wielding a purple lightsaber that I built and spent $200 for. But yeah. It'll be fun. It's going to be oodles of fun. I can't wait. So I'm super excited for that. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. Always a pleasure. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And Chris, always fun to talk to you. We're not done yet because we've got bonus material coming after this. We're going to play some Vassar for that. And if you're interested, I don't know if you want to put that as a Patreon exclusive only, or if you want to just toss it up on the YouTube channel, whatever way, how do you want to do that?
So the audio will go into being a Patreon exclusive just because of the nature of trying to upload it all to YouTube so people can watch it. Mm-hmm. It's too much. It's a pain in the ass, pardon me, to just do a video as a Patreon exclusive. So that'll be out for everyone to watch, but I'll rip the audio from it because I'm sure we're going to have some banter in there anyway.
Oh, God, absolutely.
Jerry, one of the Patreons, did ask if I could start putting more of the random stuff onto Patreon just so he has more stuff to listen to. Yeah, so sure. If you subscribe to the Dice Hate podcast feed, not the Lack of Focus one, because you can get us on either, and you start hearing other stuff, that's Jerry's fault.
You know exactly who to blame for that.
He pays me money, so he gets what he wants.
That's
if you, right. You'd have to pay more than Jerry, and then you can have a bidding war for me to not make content on that podcast feed.
Completely random stuff? Absolutely. All right, so that's what we're going to do.
And Sean won the Eilber as well from the D&D podcast.
Did he?
So, yeah, I get to send Sean the Eilber, so...
Awesome.
Yeah.
Totally different show. We're not part of it. So we are absolutely eligible to win. Just saying.
Yeah. Oh, there was only basically Greg, who I record the Lack of the That's Initiative D&D show with, was like, oh, there are only two people asked questions. So there's only two people eligible. So rather than flip a coin, he was like, I'll buy another Elber and we'll just give them one each. So Woo-hoo. Sean got one and Greg Estevez got one as well. So
excellent. Good.
Thanks, folks.
And if you're interested, check that out on the Dice Hate Production YouTube channel. That's where I watch it or listen to it, whatever I'm at work. And if you're so inclined, if you are interested in any of my magic geeking stuff, check me out at Old Guy Gaming, and that is going to be on the YouTube channels. I'm up over 530 subscribers now. It's creeping up. My goal is to have 1,000 subscribers at the end of the year. I think I might get there.
You're basically a third of the way to what Dice Hate already, man.
We'll see. It's starting to slow down a little, but we'll see. Every time a new set comes out, I get this huge spike and then it kind of levels off. It's kind of interesting to see how the analytics work out on that. But
yeah.
In any case, we're going to move on to go play some Vassal. So until that time, as always, always fun to talk to everyone and fly casual. Thank you once again for joining the Lack of Focus X-Wing podcast. Check out Dice Hate Productions for all the latest episodes, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next episode.